You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs. I'm Brandon Eastman. I'm joined with Ben Albert, Andrew Biernat, Christine Smith. We're all over upstate New York, and we have come together to bring you the Lunch Break ABCs, where we bring you a topic of your choosing based on what you voted for, based on what you want to know more about, to help you to progress and make positive progress in your work and life. And today's topic is all about the art of influence, how influence can help you to boost your success in work and in life. We've got a lot of great topics for you today about what is influence, how do you become more influential, as well as personal experiences from this amazing group of panel experts to help you level up in your own life. We're already joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jim Kunkel. We're already joined by Stephanie Kennedy. It's great to have the two of you here. Be sure to go in the comments and let us know where you're tuning in from, and let us know how influence has made an impact in your own life. But I'm curious, let's kick it off. What comes to mind for you guys when it comes to influence and influence's effect on work and life?
Sure. I'll take maybe a lead here. So first thing I think of when I think of influence is actually power. So influence and power and kind of that dynamic and how that interplay works. And often we kind of lump them into the same thing, right? Is powerful people have influence, or and influential people become powerful. But a lot of times I really think there is a strong line between being influential and being powerful. And to me, I was actually really helped on this topic by a book I read. I think I mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, The 48 Laws of Power. So very interesting book, kind of in a sense dystopian, kind of look at humanity. But you really kind of get an idea of there's certain ways that power works, and he really goes into that in that particular book. But in that same vein, you start to get an idea of what the difference between power and influence is. And I think when we're looking at influence, we want to make sure we're kind of divorcing ourselves in a little bit from just being powerful in a sense, right? Because if you are someone's boss, does not necessarily mean that you're influential, right? You have power perhaps over that person, but you may not be able to influence them at all. And that can be, I think can be a really, really big challenge. So I just kind of want to maybe loft that idea up as far as, you know, for our conversation today, looking at some of the difference between power and how that plays a role in decisions and the way that we do things, interact with other people, but really how influence is kind of our main topic today, and how that is a much more, in my opinion, amazing tool for making connection, bridging gaps, and actually making real change in the world.
Beautifully said, brother. Beautifully said. Stephanie actually jumped in here and wrote, "I always feel like influence was generated in almost an ingenuine way, but then I realized that is only some of the time. It's a powerful thing realizing your own influence that you have in the world in a genuine way." And to kick off, to kind of tag along to what you said, Andrew, I love how you said there's a big difference between power and influence. And I went to Google and actually typed in what is influence. And there's actually a definition for this thing, believe it or not. So what Google says is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So to what you said, you can be someone's boss, you can be someone's leader, you can have the title of leader. But that doesn't always mean you're going to have a positive effect on someone's character. It might even be the opposite. You might have a negative effect on someone's character. And I know when I was a leader before I was ready, I definitely had a negative effect on other people's character because I didn't know what I was doing. Right. So how about you, Ben and Christine? What comes to mind with influence for the two of you?
For me, influence is based off of, I guess, how other people see you. So like I've leveraged, you know, like the ripple effect mentality, right? And if you're networking correctly, then people are always going to think and talk about you. And I feel like that to me is an influence, right? Like I've left an impact on somebody to the point where they remember me and I'm not having to do anything for that, right? And I think influence is something that you leave behind, right? It's a piece of yourself or an impression that you leave, and people are motivated by it. So they're willing to take an action because of said influence, and it could be negative or positive, right? So this works with kids too, right? Like you could have like a positive or negative influence, But I think it works perfectly with, you know, being in the professional space. You have all these people that you talk to. And I think the big question that people ask, especially in a networking realm, is, well, how do I get people to send me leads or remember me, right? And I think if you go back to the influence side of things, you're asking the wrong questions. It should be, well, how can I leave an impact so that I've left some sort of influence to cause someone to make a change or take an action? Because I think if that's what's happening after you have a conversation with somebody, that is where your influence has the potential to grow. And I think, you know, tying in the whole power thing, I mean, I don't know about you, but it gives me a lot of energy to know that at any given time, if anyone brings up the word networking, it's happened quite frequently lately, actually, since I've been on maternity. We've had a little bit of a increase in our Ripple Effects membership. And I'm like, I've been not around, but I don't have to be, right? Like, because I've left that imprint and it has continued to ripple through the community because of that influence. We have people that are coming, you know, either they're coming back or they're like, hey, I heard about this from so-and-so. And I'm like, where did that come from? Right? Like, it's just so cool to watch it actually work.
Christine, we can't count your daughter's subscription to Ripple Effects as a member, but I completely get where you're coming from. And let me ask you, because you're the queen of this. How do you get people to remember you when you are meeting them for the first time? Because a lot of people listening are a business owner. So maybe we can talk about just real quickly the work aspect and the professional aspect. How do you get people to remember you if you had to give someone just one quick tip?
Well, I wish it was just like one quick word, right? But it's literally like the whiplash statement mentality, right? You're giving them something that they're never going to get anywhere else. So we have all sat in those one-to-ones where somebody just starts to pitch us, right? Or they're just immediately starting to talk about them. They're not asking questions. You know, the thing that you can do is just don't do those things, right? Like, you're going to separate yourself so easily just because you asked a question. You're not word vomiting on somebody. You're genuinely interested in what they offer, who they are as a person, and how that collaboration between the two of you can go somewhere, right? And you actually mentioning that to them, right? That was one of the things that I would do is in those meetings, I'm like, listen, we're here to kind of figure out where we fit in each other's lives professionally or personally. You know, my goal is to continue growing my network, and not everybody's at the top. Like, that's okay. But I don't know where you fit. So where do you see yourself, you know, in a network? What are you looking for in these types of connections? And, you know, not once did I ask, you know, what are you doing? What are you selling? You know, obviously I want to ask how I can help them, but, those questions are never asked in meetings. Like, got hundreds of probably thousands of them at this point. You know, stop going for, you know, the artery and just trying to sell the person. You know, look beyond that, look at what they have to offer and who they know, right? You don't know what their influence is like either, that you could potentially have open door access to.
I do have, and I have it written down, which is helpful because I took a couple of notes, but my one word to kind of sum all that up is specificity, being as specific and tailored as possible. So, you know, in Christine's example, she is the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking, and she often has, you know, bright blue purple hair. She just, you know, had a baby this month. These are all specific things that are unique to Christine that I can remember her as and by. And we all have these specific things that are unique to us. Even looking at like pricing structure, when you're trying to sell a product and looking at specificity and uniqueness in the way I'm pricing my products and presenting my solutions. If everything's $9.99, maybe I charge $9.96 because I sat down and I went through and I realized that this program isn't going to cost you $1,299. It's actually going to cost you $1,277. And someone sees that number and they go, that's very specific. Yes, because I was very deliberate in the decision I made when I priced this program. So if you're deliberately specific, that'll trigger that interest, that uniqueness, And then if you're unique and specific and you're tailoring your approach, just that in itself will help you stand out. And to weave in some thoughts on what Andrew was saying with power, like, I don't want power for no reason. I mean, like Christine said it great, talking about impact. I don't necessarily need power. I want impact and authority. I'd rather have authority than power. And how do you build authority? It's by creating a tribe. It's by creating impact. It's by getting testimonials. It's by getting case studies. It's by when Brandon brings people up saying where they're calling out of in this group, it's creating authority that it's not just us here. We actually have people listening and watching. That's a little way to create authority. And there's so many ways to create that authority in our lives, but we need to look at impact and we need to look at how we're different and how we can use specificity to hone our uniqueness so we can be an authority in exactly what we do.
I love it. Ben, you made me think of this kind of quick statement. I want to kind of loft this up and, you know, kind of based on some of everything that we've talked about today is I'm kind of thinking something along the lines of, you know, power speaks, influence listens. Kind of curious what you guys think about that. Like, does that kind of seem accurate? Because it's possible to be influential and powerful. And I think, you know, influential people, at least the ones that have been really influential in my life, they have something in common. They're really good sounding boards. They're really good listeners. They're really good at letting me in and allowing me to be myself and letting me open up. And then powerful people, they're very good at maybe perhaps spreading a message, telling people what to do, advising, go do this, go do that, right? And they're in this position of kind of guiding and sending things out. And I think both of those aspects are wonderful. But I'm kind of curious, does that make sense as far as influence and power?
I mean, I think it does. I think the other thing that comes to mind too is the memory aspect of this. So how do you become influential and powerful? People have to remember you, right? Like you have to exist in their memory, in their forefront. You can hear the vacuum.
We have a vacuum here on the lunch break ABCs.
Hey, while the vacuum's going, I just to maybe finish what you were saying, Christine, but definitely go back to that. You have to stand out. And that's really what we're talking about right now. It's because if you think about what we've been talking about so far, we're talking about influence, but now we're talking about being remembered. We're talking about standing out. And the question is, well, what do the both of those have to do with influence of helping to get someone to move in a direction you want them to move in? Like, what does that have to do with it? Well, you can't have influence if people don't know you. You can't have influence if people don't know what your why is, if people don't know what the reason you're trying to get influence is. So the question I'd have for everyone listening right now is in your work and your life, why are you looking for influence? Why? And by the way, if you're not looking for influence, that's not good, right? The goal is to become more influential every day, 1% more influential in your work and your life, because more influence means not just more control, but we all have that need for control, that need for certainty, and influence allows you to have a semblance of that, but influence also allows you to make a positive difference for other people, right? Imagine if you're trying to get someone on your team to do something that you know is good for them and good for the organization, but because you don't have any influence, you ask them to do it and they don't do it, right? And then you feel powerless, like we talked about. But if that person likes you, and if that person knows you because you've stood out, if that person finds you interesting and respects you, then they're more likely to do what you want them to do. Think about in your life, if your kid, if there's no influence amongst your children. And by the way, I know a lot of parents who don't have influence amongst their children. I remember I was working in the store once, professionally working in the store I work in locally, and there was a father with his probably 6 or 7 year old boy that came in the store, and the boy was just running to that end of the store and that end of the store and that end of the store. And the father was like, come on, like you got to come back here. Come on, chill out. Stay with me. Stay with me. And the father was the child in my eyes, because the father couldn't get control. He didn't have influence over his 7 year old son. But then on the flip side, I've seen a mother come in the store with their daughter, and the daughter was a little bit younger. But when the daughter said something or did something, the mother just had to look at the daughter and say, no more of that. And she gave her the reason of why there's no more of that. And the daughter said, okay, mom. And the daughter listened, right? It's not always that black and white or that clear cut. But if you think about influence and you think about standing out, when do you most stand out? It's when you're not trying to be interesting to someone else, but when you are trying to become more interested in someone else. One of the first personal development books I read was from Dale Carnegie. And a lot of people listening, I'm sure, and a lot of you guys have read this as well, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the book is literally all about how to have conversations with other people and get people to like you. And people will like you when you are interested in them. I remember I was helping a family get new phones probably about a year ago, but I'll always remember this kid. There was a 16-year-old amongst the family. It was like kids in their 20s, the father, the mother, and then this 16-year-old. And I don't remember a thing about this 16-year-old except for the fact that he kept asking questions about me, the salesperson. For those who are in sales, people don't normally ask the salesperson a lot of questions like, how long have you been doing this? Oh, do you like doing this? What's your favorite part? Do you live around here? And like just asking questions like that. What kind of books do you read? He asked me. I remember all these things about him. And that kid to me is infinitely more interesting than all the people that I was asking them questions about their life, because I don't know much about this kid. All I know is he was interested in me. And there's a formula that I created literally like 15 minutes ago on influence, because I was thinking about it.
It's own tested. It's legit, right?
Part of it, Brandon, part of influence, you don't have to say the 15 minutes ago part.
Well, the points are valid, even if the formula was conglomerated 15 minutes ago.
This is a formula that you've been brewing for your entire career that you just perfected.
Yes. Exactly. And it just came and bubbled to the front of my consciousness. And the formula is CIA, right? I started with CAI, but I was like, we got to change those two because it sounds better as CIA. Building connection, having the right intention, and building authority, CIA. And the first one is connection, right? Building a connection. How do you build a connection with people? You listen to them, you care for them, and you serve them, right? And some of that goes into intention. Why do you want to build influence? The question we asked earlier, because you want to help people to move in a positive direction, right? So the very first step is if you want to have influence over any human being, you have to have a genuine care and interest in the other person. So I just wanted to tell that story of that kid. I'll always remember, even though I don't even know his name, but he kept asking me questions about me. And afterwards, I went to my coworkers and I was like, that kid is so interesting. Because he just kept asking me questions, and they know me. My coworkers are like, yeah, yeah, Brandon, we hear you. We saw it. But I found it very interesting, and I'll always remember that kid for that reason. He had influence.
I love that. I love that acronym, CIA, too. Go ahead, Christine. Looks like you want something to say.
I was going to say it goes back to what I was saying about questions, right? People don't ask questions. And when people ask questions that are like quality questions, right? Not just like, oh, you know, where do you live? Like sort of the questions, right? What's your favorite color? Because you feel special, right? Someone took that time to ask you those questions that they're not normally being asked in a setting that's not typical of that type of, you know, back and forth. And I think the other thing too, and I wrote this in our chat, was influence equals validity. So if you want to be validated as a resource, as the top person in your field, you have to have other people like essentially vouch for you, right? And I think influence is reflective of other people talking about you, whether it's positive or negative, right? You've left that influential impact to them to the point where they're willing to talk, they're willing to spend the time and the energy continuing that conversation, even though you're not in the room anymore. And to me, that is the most powerful thing about influence that you could possibly do for yourself as a business owner, as somebody who works for somebody else, you have a side gig you're trying to do, whatever. If people are not talking about you, you're not going to be able to continue growing because no one is validating the things that you're doing. You're not that resource, right? You have to change the conversation because then it's just easy. Right. I found it was just so easy, especially as a financial advisor at the time when this started happening. I wasn't asking people to be a client. They were asking me to work with me. Right. They were like, oh, are you taking on this type of person? Or do you have room for me? Right. Like I wasn't having to beg and plead and be like, can you please be my client? I need to get paid this month. Right. Like it completely changed, you know, the approach that I had. And it doesn't feel as gross anymore, right? We all are worried about that as salespeople that we're going to oversell or you know, just make people feel weird, but we're like, oh, we got to put money on the, money on the table. I gotta pay for food and do this stuff for my family. Right. But I'm telling you, other people are impacted by your influence. Everything always comes back. It makes things so much easier.
To add to that, I'm going to toot my own horn. I'm a podcaster. Some people have listened to the show, whether you have or not. I've been endorsed by Jordan Harbinger, who's one of the top 50 podcasters of all time. Chris Van Vliet, who's a four-time Emmy Award winner. I've been endorsed by Cal Fussman, a world-famous writer, Larry King's best friend. He's interviewed Oprah, presidents, anybody you can imagine. You know how I got their endorsement? I asked them for it. And I asked them for it on the spot after we recorded the podcast. Now, I'm using me as an example to, one, toot my own horn, but two, let's say you have a client meeting on Zoom. You can post-meeting say, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to help more people that have similar problems than the problems you had. Can you leave me a video testimonial? It's okay if not. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but if you feel I deserve it, would you be willing to do that for me? And then you can just record their testimonial over Zoom. You can use the video. You can transcribe it, use the words. But all you got to do is ask. And you don't even have to ask 8 weeks down the road through an email. You can ask someone on the spot. If you're a contractor and you do service calls, you can get them to leave that five-star review on the spot through a text message, through your CRM payment system, or in your invoice. And get them to do that right on the spot. Maybe they even get a discount for that review, or maybe they even get a discount for their referrals. So tooting my own horn, but the only way I got these endorsements from people that probably forgot that they gave me the endorsement, let's be honest, was I asked them after I delivered value, they gave an authentic testimonial. And what do you think that's going to do for my speaking kit long-term?
Ben. Okay, let's just pause for a second here. So Ben just shared this fantastic example. Brandon teed us up with this brand new, hot off the press, CIA, connection, intention, authority. Let's break this down. Connection, right? You had a great connection with this person. Intention, you shared your intention, bigger mission. This is what I'm on. Here's where I'm headed. This is what we're doing. And then you asked if they could help you build your authority. And they said yes. So I just want to say that's just
learn kinda, from the best. Learn from the
I got
best.
Chills just thinking about it.
Well, also think about recently your experience, Ben, with and I might pronounce her name wrong, and I'm sorry if she happens to listen to this, but Hala Taha, right? Hala Taha. She's the biggest LinkedIn podcaster. And you have I've seen you brewing the relationship with this individual over the course of months, and I follow her as well. And she recently re-aired the show that you guys did together on her own podcast. She only did that because you have a connection, she knows your intention, and she sees your authority, which again goes along with intention. She knows why you're doing what you're doing, which is to help a lot of people. And think about your clients, Ben, from the marketing side of things. If you go to your client and you say, I think that the best thing to do based on what your outcome and goals are is this kind of campaign. If you don't have connection or authority or the right intention, then that person is going to give a lot of resistance to you wanting to go along with that campaign. So that formula is the end all be all when it comes to developing influence. And I really think that second part, and Stephanie wrote in the comments, genuine influence and interest. And I would even say genuine influence, interest, and intention. If the genuine intention is not there, then people will see right through it. Right. When I first started to improve myself in order to build authority amongst my team, I had to, that was the biggest hurdle to get over. I had the authority, I could sell. I didn't really have the connection, but I certainly didn't have the right intention at the time. I just wanted to become a leader. I wanted to become a manager. I wanted to have the title. And people saw right through that aspect of me and they told me, right? So if that intention is not there, then it's going to be a rocky road to climb. But if it is there, then the other two are that much easier to foster. And speaking to what you said, Christine, too, people, this is the Maya Angelou quote that's overused and probably said in every podcast, but people won't remember what you said, but people will remember how you made them feel.
One tiny thing I want to add to the Hala Taha thing, because she did rebroadcast her interview, but she We talked 100% about LinkedIn strategy. She teaches a LinkedIn masterclass with Yap Academy. So she used that conversation in a way to help promote her LinkedIn masterclass. But it's not just her talking about how cool it is. It's a third party coming in, asking her questions, being curious, being genuinely interested, and then endorsing her. So her bringing me on to her channel to ask her questions is more influential than it, if she were just to preach how smart she was at LinkedIn. So there's another layer that's probably the number one reason why she brought me on, is I helped endorse what she was doing as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really critical thing about influence, is if you can listen well, you can understand what other people are looking for, what they are looking to do, what they're, you know, how they're growing their business, how, who they can be connected to. And if you can have those type of listening ears, you can then make those connections for them. You can make them look good. But, you know, one of the things I joke about with my podcast is, like, the reason I have a podcast is to make other people look good. And that's kind of half the intent behind it. As I bring people on my show, I ask them, you know, cool questions, get some insight. My goal isn't to play hardball. My goal isn't to make people look bad. The goal is to highlight what's special about them. I think every conversation I have, no matter who it is, how much authority they have, how much influence they have, how much power they have, I don't really care most of the time. Really, what I'm looking for, though, is every person has some form of value to add. There's something that they can add to a conversation. And I feel like it's my job, whether I'm on a podcast and I'm hosting it, or whether I'm just in a networking event, or whether I'm talking to someone at a family reunion, I feel like my goal is I want to find out what value you have. I want to get to know you a little bit and know what matters to you, know what's exciting about you, know what I can learn, what I can take away, how you can live rent-free in my brain in some way into the future, kind of like Christine's talking about earlier. Just this idea of when we influence other people, in a sense, you carry them with you. You bring them along for the ride for the rest of your life. And so I always try and look at every conversation as an opportunity to kind of dig into that with people.
So, well, speaking of podcasts, think about the, quite possibly the most influential person in the world right now, Joe Rogan. One of the most influential. And is it because he's the smartest guy in the world? No, he says that. Is it because he's got the most college degrees? No, he says that. Is it because he's done all the most amazing things? He's done some pretty amazing things, but certainly not compared to the guests that he's had on his show. But why is he so influential? Because he was found interesting by so many different people. And what's the main thing that he does? He, like Ben, he asks questions for a living. That's what he does. Because he is so interested in other people, he is immediately deemed as interesting. And it got him to the point where now he's interviewing people like Elon Musk, and he's interviewing people like Michio Kaku, and he's interviewing a ton of different people from all these different areas of life, which is very, very interesting. And now if this man says, hey, you should go buy this thing, a lot of people are going to go buy it. And a lot of people were even saying now, because of his level of influence, think about how a person or an individual like this can influence even something like a presidential election. Think about how many people, if Joe Rogan said, I think you should vote for this person, but I don't think he'd ever say that. But if he did, imagine how many of his listeners would be like, you know what? I am pretty unbiased. I'm just going to go with what Joe says because I like Joe. I know Joe and I trust Joe. So be thinking in your mind, obviously we're talking about podcasts, but even if you don't have a podcast, how can you leverage these laws of influence for your own career and or your own family life?
I love that. And you brought up a really interesting point, right? This is a in a sense, collaborative podcast among podcasters. And there's a reason why all three of us have gravitated towards podcasts. And I think it's, we kind of understand some of the core tenets of influence. We understand how it works. We understand how to build a tribe, build a following, get people around us and have them not only connect with us, but start connecting with each other, right? That's why we're streaming this live. That's why we're giving people shout outs on the show. It's not just about the four people on this call. It's about the people in the audience at the end of the day. And you look at that intention, right? We're putting that intention out there and people sense your intention when you're doing things. If you're there just to make a buck, people feel it. If you're there on a mission, though, if you're there with something bigger in mind, and yes, perhaps money plays a part of that, but if that's a secondary issue, people get a feel for that as well. So make sure that you're always heading into every conversation with that type of intention. But I want to talk about this really quick. I'm going to see maybe we can peel some of this back. Is, you know, I think most people would look at us, many of the people in our lives, and for a lot of people that we know, we're probably one of the most influential people that we know. And like to us, like we're swimming in different circles sometimes, and we're like, yeah, I'm not influential at all. But to other people, they would look up to us and they would say, wow, these are really influential people. They know a lot of people. They shake a lot of hands. They kiss a lot of babies. How do you do it? Looking at a tactical sense, how have each of you implemented some of these influential strategies to become a more influential person yourself?
I've already touched on a couple, so I want to let you guys go. I just did notice, though, that Elon Musk tweeted at Brandon Eastman. He says, Joe Rogan, most influential person, laughable. So I think Elon disagrees with Brandon, but that's
Elon, get on the show. We'll have a conversation face to face. That's all I'll say.
Now I'll let you guys talk.
How about you, Christine? How have you used influence? I know you kind of mentioned it with Whiplash, but
yeah,
just
yeah,
all the people you know, I think you're one of the best people to talk about this.
So I just did an acronym for two parts of this to help with people. So the first part is how to build influence. Okay, so it's the ABCs: ask, bond, and connect. Okay, so for those pieces, in order to build influence, right? So if you're trying to make an impact, you want people to talk about you when you're not in the room, you really want to leverage whatever position that you're in to move forward, to grow, to move up, right? It's the ask. You got to ask those questions. You got to bond with the person, right? So, you know, someone commented about being genuinely interested in them. You got to do that, right? You have to make the time and the effort. And I think people think that that's a lot. Oh, when, you know, when you network, it takes so much time. I'm like, but it doesn't though. It really doesn't. And then the connect side is actually making those connections. So I think Andrew was mentioning like, oh, when you're in those meetings, you're actually listening to what somebody needs help with or what they need, but you're actually executing it on it, right? Because when you're doing that ABC and building that influence, you're actually teaching them how you want that for yourself, right? So you're actually coaching them on what it is that you want received, right? The other part is how you know that you've actually made proper influence measures is WAS. That is the acronym for this part. So their willingness to put effort back into you, one shape or form or another, the actions that they've taken in order for that to happen, and the sustainability of your influence, right? So one of the things that I teach in the networking realm is that networking isn't just something that you can do for 6 months and be done, right? You have to forever network forever, right? If you want to continue making an influence, you have to continue putting yourself out there, but you can do it in a very strategic and sustainable way through other people. And to see if that's actually worked, are they taking action? Are they willing to help you? Are they willing to put the time and effort back into you? And it could literally just be they're making a connection, right? They're opening a door for you. And I think that's something that people mistake when they're looking at influence is, or, you know, they're building their network and they're trying to be an authority in a specific industry. They're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not getting leads from people. I'm like, but that's not the only way that you can actually build yourself and have a reputation and be valid, right, by other people. That isn't going to happen if you're that person that's just essentially leeching people, right? You're just sucking people dry. You're not giving to get. You're not trying to actually work with people, like working together for a greater purpose to open more doors and more opportunity. So those two things. ABCs and WAS to build your influence and validate that your influence is being built properly.
Can I break the fourth wall real quick?
Mm. Sure.
So there's been three acronyms thrown out during this time together. Let me ask you guys as listeners this question. Would you be more apt to listen to and act on an acronym or us simply just stating these things individually, such as you got to have connection, you've got to build intention, you got to have authority, or if we said CIA, Connection Intention Authority, or ABCs, or WAS, you're more likely to act on an acronym because an acronym creates this idea and field of authority, right? The A in CIA. So for someone out there who is a leader in a company and you're delivering a training to a group of people, how can you take your material and put it into an acronym that will better be remembered, but also tell the people listening, hey, this guy or this girl really knows what they're doing. This is a system rather than just a collection of ideas, right? So that what we're doing right here, breaking the fourth wall, we're not doing it intentionally. Maybe we are, but creating these acronyms to help you remember, but also to build authority and make this packaged in a way that will be remembered. And Cindy just wrote acronym 100%. Absolutely. We've had three, and I remember all three of them because they're easy to remember. But that A in authority, I just want to touch on that real quick. And I know you asked, Andrew, how have you used this in your own life? And I'll touch on that here in a second. But my wife and I, we love this show. I don't know if you guys watch it, but we love the show Queer Eye. Any of you watch the show Queer Eye? It is so good. If you don't watch it, it's amazing. It's definitely out there, but I mean, that's the whole point of the show. It's where this group of four guys comes together and they help one person to completely make over their life. And they do it in a very flamboyant way, as the title suggests, which is, it's fun. It's a funny show. It's very comedic. But they helped this individual recently who is a gardener, and he also does fundraising for his community. And this guy was unkempt. His hair was crazy. He had this overgrown beard. His house was dirty. There's literally coats of dirt on the floor in this guy's home. And his life from the outside, if someone looked at him, they'd say, this guy is not put together. But he's responsible for collecting thousands of dollars for fundraising events for the community. So the four people, the cast of Queer Eye, said, we got to help him make over his looks first. And his mindset, of course, goes along with it. But they gave this guy a haircut. They trimmed off the beard. They put him in clothes that fit his style, but also fit the way that other people saw him. He asked, how do I want other people to see me? The answer was he wanted people to see that he had a unique style, right? Just like you, Christine, with the different colors of hair, right? He wanted people to see that he was a figure of authority and that he took care of himself. And when it comes to authority, you have to be someone who is worthy of influence. If you want to be influential, earn influence. It doesn't just happen. If you go in front of a room as a leader of a company to deliver a presentation and your tie is too short, or you're not wearing a suit jacket, or there's a stain on it, or your hair is all messy because you woke up too late and it was one of those mornings, people will judge a book by its cover. Okay. And me at the beginning of my career, to go to what you said, Andrew, I was not worthy of influence. I was unhappy, which came off in the way I communicated with other people. I was purposeless. I had no goals. I was heavily overweight and unhappy as a big part because of that. And again, this goes back to the story I tell all the time, that one key human being in my life, and I'm going to avoid the M word this episode, that key human being in my life mentor, came up to me and he said, Brandon, you said it, not me. He said, Brandon, you've got to change you before other people are going to follow you, before other people will respect you. You've got to respect you. So for that person listening who wants to be more influential in their work, in their life, how can you be more worthy of influence? How can you care for you? We just had a baby as well. Christine and I both had new babies. And my wife is upstairs and I've got a massage scheduled for today. And I feel bad about it because that means she's going to be home with the baby while I'm getting a massage. But she was like, you know, saying, well, I don't want to be away yet. And it's like, Brie, in order for you to be worthy of influence over this little child, you have to fill your cup. Your cup has to be full. You have to be well taken care of in order for you to deliver the best care for this little human being. So for you parents listening, if you want to instill great values and morals and principles on your children, how can you do that if you're overtired, if you're overworked, if you're miserable? It's going to be impossible. You're not going to be able to do it. So how can you be more worthy of influence? What do you have to tackle first? The way you look, your mindset, the way that you communicate with others. Really take a genuine self-assessment and be honest, because you're the only one that's going to be looking at it, and ask yourself, how can I be someone who is more worthy of influence?
How can I be more worthy of influence? I'm going to flip this on its head, Brandon, because I just came up with an acronym. It's not as good as
no, stop it. No, now I'm left out. I got to make one up. Hang on.
Not as good, I promise. It's FOLD, F-O-L-D, fear of loss, dog. fear of. When you say, how can you be more worthy of influence? Unfortunately, I'm not a fan of this. I'm very much optimistic and a positive talker and thinker. But what's more persuasive and influential is, why the hell are you playing small? Do you want to accept mediocrity in your life? Because if not, there are actions you can take. That's, in a way, more influential in a lot of ways than, what do you deserve? You're the best. I'm going to love bomb you. It's like, why the hell are you playing small? Like, when your mentor came in and said, Brandon, why are you fat? That's offensive, but it hit hard because of that fear of loss, that fear of who you could have been that you're not. So that's my acronym of the day, FOLD, fear of loss, dog. And use it with care, because you do not want to diminish others. But sometimes that scarcity and that fear of loss is actually more persuasive than that love bomb.
Ben had the first three letters down, and he's like, what could it be?
That's exactly what I did.
Andrew, you're the only one without an acronym.
Dude, we still got time. We still got time, friends. Don't worry.
So I think, you know, in the last 9 minutes or so here, actually a little bit less, what would you guys say would be your want to leave those listening with just one thing they can take and use work in life? What would it be regarding influence? What would you say? And we'll go with you, Andrew.
Oh man, I need time to come up with my acronym.
Think of his acronym. Yeah.
come back. Circle back.
Okay. How about you, Christine? What do you want to leave with the beautiful people listening?
Well, obviously my two amazing acronyms. but no, seriously, I think it's just the being genuine, like asking the questions, like if you don't remember anything else, right? Ask the questions, be that person that is actually intrigued. You slow down, you take a couple minutes, and you'll see very quickly how much of an effect it has on your personal influence. And like, you could do this just literally, like, I mean, I wouldn't do it at the grocery store, but like doing like normal things, right? You'll be surprised. Someone will, like, kind of what Brandon's situation was, like, he remembered that guy that asked all those questions. Like, be that person that everyone remembers.
I'll go next. I think you guys nailed it today. You're not going to be able to read my incredibly poor handwriting. But before we jumped on, I actually took 5 notes, and we tackled all these. You guys tackled 90% of it without me even bringing it up, which blows my mind. But I had written down scarcity. Part of scarcity is your uniqueness, creating fear of loss. The fear of loss is not working with you, your products and service, your stack. Number 2, authority or social proof. Number 3, specificity. Let's say you're applying for a job, send in a handwritten letter. Let's say you want a referral, send in a handwritten letter. Find alignment. We talked about that with making a connection. And the last thing I wrote down was ask more questions. So we tackled all 5 of those just by the nature of our conversation. So they've got to be right. So that's my 5.
The one takeaway I'll give is tied directly to what Christine said, which is be intrigued of other people. And I will say, for the person who is at the very beginning of this journey, like I was when I was 21, sometimes when you're coming from a place of scarcity, when you're coming from a place of quote unquote not enough, and you need that sale, or you join the chamber because you really need to build your business, or you just became a leader in the company and you need to build connection, and you're like, I got to do this fast, right? Above all, patience, of course. You know, everything will improve with time. Change is inevitable, but progress is optional, right? And if you're listening to this, we know that you want to grow. But the one thing I'll say is, I read a book called The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. And she talks in the book about, to find people more interesting and to become more interested in them, she talks about how when she's talking to people, she looks into people's eyes. And as she's listening to them and talking with them, she's thinking in her mind 3 words: I love you. And it's really weird. Some people are going to think, well, I don't want to think that in my mind. Well, I challenge you to try it. When you're talking with a complete stranger today and you're listening to them, think in your mind, I love you. or I love this person. Just the act of you thinking that in your mind will cause you to be more present with that person. It'll cause you to be more interested in that person. And that person will feel your vibe throughout that conversation. So just think to yourself, I love this person, and just watch how immediately you become more interested in that other human being.
I love it. These are all great. All right, I came up with an acronym, guys. You ready?
Yes.
All right. It's not as good. But LAM, all right? L, listen, is for me, that's one of my top ways of being an influential person is listen. And I listen to understand. I listen to see where they're at. I listen to see how I can help. So that's the L. Now we have A, add value. Okay. And so I'm listening and I'm hearing, I'm looking for problems. I'm looking for opportunities. I'm looking for ways that I have in my toolkit or in my network to be of assistance to this person. And how can I help? Right. Because all influence often really needs to start in a one-to-one level. Okay. You can be a large influencer, but an influencer really not an influencer of a mob. They're an influencer of individual people. And so it starts with that individual connection. So listen, find a way to A, add value. And so look at what are their challenges? What are their problems? How can I be of service? How can I connect them? And you don't always have to be the solution. Quite frankly, most of the time you're not going to be, because there's certain things that you're good at and most of the rest of it you're not good at. And you should probably farm that out or find someone else who is the person that's good at that. And last one here is M, make the ask. So listen, add value, make the ask, LAM. The idea there, make the ask, whatever the thing you're asking is, have good intention behind it. Kind of like Brandon was talking about before, is make an ask, not like, hey, can you give me some money for my business? That's not necessarily the kind of ask that I'm making. However, it might be appropriate for that person, because if you've listened, if you've added value for them and it makes sense for them to do business with you, ask them to do business with you, or at least open that conversation, right? The other thing is make an ask that's appropriate, right? Ben, asking some of these major influencers, hey, can you endorse me, right? That's a little bit of a scary ask to ask someone who has that level of influence and authority, but he made the ask. And so my encouragement is go into every opportunity, every new person that you're meeting, any event, any type of connection opportunity. Think LAM, L-A-M, listen in, see how you can add value, and then make the ask, whatever that ask is going to be. And the ask might be how they can help themselves.
Wow. I really like that. I got to say, this is the one episode where I've personally taken the most away from any of our conversations, learning from what you guys had to share. So thank you personally. And I'm curious for those listening, Sherry Ann Bruckner joined us and she said, love this. I love hearing that. Sherry, let us know, what do you love about it? And for everyone else, what did you like about this episode? What did you take away? What will you use? Or if we missed something, what would you add? Go in the comments, let us know what you would add and let us know what you loved. These topics, today was the art of influence. These topics are decided by you. You see a poll from Ben Albert come out that we all share. And it asks, out of these four topics, which one would you like us to have a conversation about? And you voted for influence. And next time, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. J will be our next letter. And yes, I did just go through the ABCs.
No I shame. Did that in my head. I was going to jump in for you so you didn't have to.
That's okay. Thank you, though, for trying to save me. But J will be the next letter that you will vote for, which topic you want us to speak about on the lunch break. ABCs. Thank you for dedicating your lunch hour to this conversation. We hope you took a ton away. And until next time, continue to be awesome. Thank you, guys.